Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a short-lived parade is returning, new nighttime entertainment for Disney 100 coming early next year, Magic Band news.
The new hotel name is announced, grad nights are getting pricier, we talk about our Oogie Boogie Bash experience and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our unbirthday party. For your safety, please be sure to stay listening with your hands, arms, feet, and ears inside the podcast. And please, do give Peg and Teresa easier trivia questions. Well, it seems DL Weekly is about to begin. Have a most wonderful time. Perhaps tea time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of September 21st, 2022. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Dylan R. and Stephanie M. for becoming official weekly tiers on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on news from the rest of the Disney universe.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. So let's jump right in. We start our journey in Walt Disney World, where the treats are coming in hot and heavy. Cool and spooky? Something. I don't know. It's nearly autumn, and Disney has a bunch of treats for the spooky season. Available in many locations around the resort, we find an adorable cupcake named My Plant-Based Boo. The plant-based is in parentheses, yeah. My Boo, I guess. The pun is trying hard here, folks. But this gluten-free chocolate cupcake is topped by a bit of buttercream with eyes and the word Boo written on it in chocolate. It's available all over the place, and I love seeing Disney's continuing commitment to normalizing alternatives to animal and wheat products. Each resort has its own sweet treats, and they all look pretty great. There are two I am genuinely jealous of, though. At Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, find the Mara. It's a small tart filled with pumpkin cheesecake mousse shaped into a dome with Mickey ears and coated in chocolate. There's a cute little blip of orange and a little chocolate leaf poking out the top that makes this creation look really great from both style and flavor perspectives. The other is a hunk of dark chocolate cake available at the Contemporary Resort. This miniature devil's food cake is filled with dark chocolate and artfully adorned with webs of marshmallow. It's also topped with a chocolate medallion depicting everybody's favorite soothsayer, Madame Leota. Okay, fine, I found a few more that look amazing. The Grand Floridian has Hocus Pocus-themed treats. The Black Flame Candle Sponge Cake looks rad, and the Amok Cupcakes feature buttercream toppings that resemble the Sanderson sisters' signature hairdos. Oh, and Porterlene Scat Cats Club has Pumpkin Mickey Beignets. Yeah, with pumpkin spice sugar on top. And Riviera's Le Petit Café, my favorite resort quick-service breakfast location, by the way, has a monster mousse that looks clever and fun. Pistachio mousse atop a cookie bar and coated with cherry glaze, this purple gent looks like a cartoony Frankenstein's monster. All right, that's enough from the resorts. Now into the parks. Once you are in the parks, have a look around for everybody's favorite collectibles, sippers and popcorn buckets. This year's Halloween sipper features Donald in costume as a large hunk of candy corn. The beverage you sip from the Donald cup is likely to be a vast improvement over actual candy corn. And for your popcorn storing pleasure, check out Mickey in full mummy wrapping with a sinister-looking pumpkin as his companion. Disney World doesn't always pull out quite so many awesome options. The West Coasters tend to get all the fun with infinite variations on treats and merch. But this year, the East Coast is ready to represent Disney foodies. I, for one, really wish I had a trip together so that I could try out some of my favorites. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have some questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, it's that time again. We are hosting our public live stream this coming Sunday, the 25th of September. So to join, it's going to be on our YouTube. So just head on over to YouTube, search DL Weekly, join the stream. It will be going live at 7:30 p.m. Central or 5:30 p.m. Pacific.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, the parade that was only around for 2 weeks before the pandemic finally has a return season. Next spring, the Magic Happens Parade will step off through Disneyland once again. The parade will be part of the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company in 2023.
So we've talked about this parade quite a bit on this show, and we were wondering when or if it was ever going to come back. And unlike Paint the Night, which still has not come back or has any type of announcements with it, this is coming back, and I'm very excited that finally this will come back, because it literally only got 2 weeks. How sad.
Very sad. So just to kind of let you all know, these are all things that we heard during the Parks panel announcement while we were out in Anaheim for D23, but these were things that we briefly talked about. I don't feel like we talked very in depth about them. And like Magic Happens, they didn't actually tell us when it was. They told us that it was coming back, but not when. So now we have some excitement to know that it'll be 2023. I want to say it was spring.
Spring
of 2023. Very exciting. It is interesting that, of course, we're going to have the Christmas parade, the Christmas Fantasy Parade, coming back for the holiday season. That hasn't officially been announced, but we can all guess that it is coming back. But we don't have a parade for like the first part of the year, because you still have January, February, maybe March is when Magic Happens is coming back. Maybe March, late March, early April is my assumption. But it is interesting that we have kind of a block of time with no parades again.
Now, I don't remember where I saw this, but I, for some reason, thought that maybe it was during the expo presentation that they said something like January was coming back.
I didn't feel like there was going to be a gap, but maybe that was just our, I don't know if they actually, I can't remember if they actually said that.
We were being dazzled by everything.
Razzle dazzled, yes. If we assumed that or if it was actually said, it's all a blur.
The weirdest thing for me is that there's a gap between now and the holiday season, because there's not any, I mean, there's
that fun little, the Halloween cavalcade.
Yeah, but that's not like a parade. No.
But we haven't had a, well, I guess, take that back. We have had a, I'm like, we haven't had a, oh no, wait, there was the Main Street Electro Parade.
Yeah, I was like, how could
daytime,
you forget?
We haven't had a daytime parade.
Sure, sure. I wish we'd get back to the days of Disneyland of yore, where we had daytime parades and nighttime parades, and I feel like that would be really wonderful. And also, I'd also like to have a parade come back to DCA, because DCA needs some loving with
DCA,
that.
DCA, man, every time that we watch a parade, so most recently the Frightfully Fun Parade, I just am always very impressed with those parade performers, because that is a long parade route. That is a very long stretch that you have to be super energetic and dancing and jumping around and, you know, having all this high energy. And It's a very long parade route.
But it's also great because you don't have to wait 1,000 years to get a good spot, because you can literally walk up almost anywhere and get a good spot.
Yeah, definitely for Frightfully Fun. Now, with the last time I saw Paint the Night, that was not the case. You needed to stake a spot out because it was just that popular. Hmm. But it is nice that the parade route is that long, because like you said, it does have more space to be able to watch the parade.
Yeah. Well, not only is Magic Happens returning for the Disney 100 celebration, but new versions of World of Color and the Disneyland Fireworks are debuting in the spring. World of Color 1 will celebrate the storytelling legacy started by Walt Disney 100 years ago. The show will tell a story of how a single action creates a ripple that can grow into a wave of change. Wondrous Journeys will be the new Disneyland fireworks show that will have nods to all 60 Walt Disney Animation Studios films to date and will include more state-of-the-art projection effects on Main Street, It's a Small World, and The Rivers of America. One thing I also did not write on this is both of these shows will have two new songs for them.
So this is exciting. I think it's really cool that Disneyland is going to be the heart of the 100-year celebration. And so it's very exciting that we get, of course, a new fireworks show and a new World of Color show. I feel like the World of Color show, to me, was a bigger, like, shocker news thing, because World of Color has been World of Color since the beginning. That'd be true. Like, oh, we're going to do a different thing. We're going to change, you know, we're going to do a different version of Fantasmic. Have they changed things here and there throughout the years? Yes, but overall, it's still the same show. So I'm very curious about World of Color. Now, you can argue we do have, there is a holiday version of World of Color that comes out sometimes, and there is that the first year of Oogie Boogie Bash, they had a villains themed
right
world like show in the world of I'm not sure, but the main show itself, I'm very, very excited to see. We were talking about this because we of course watched World of Color when we were just there, and the thing, World of Color is beautiful,
yeah,
but it seems like it's kind of like a patchwork quilt of Disney things. It's just kind of,
it's like a clip like show,
a little here, a little there, and you know, there are, you still have all the emotional feels and all that, but there's not really a storyline per se.
Yes.
So I wonder if what this will be, if it'll be kind of the same thing, just a new clips, and it's just a new patchwork quilt of Disney animated and Pixar animation scenes, or sure, if there's going to be some sort of story arc to kind of bridge them all together.
I hope that there's a story arc, because one of the things that I think I like so much about Fantasmic is the fact that there is a storyline to it. Like, there's some clippy parts of it, but it's you're in Mickey's imagination, yeah, and then, like, the villains come and attack, and then, like, triumph, yeah, and whatever. Where I feel like World of Color kind of has that, where they kind of start with, you know, imagination, basically, with Walt's quote, and then they go through a bunch of clips, and then there's that whole, like, sad section, and then it kind of lifts, yeah, up and everything.
Yeah, there's kind of, there's, like, a... There's different sections. There's different themes.
Yeah. It seems like there's an emotional story that, yeah, gets told with World of Color, but I want more of a literal story told.
That's a good point. That's a good way of explaining
also,
it.
Also, I think I figured out what my confusion was. So World of Color 1 and Wondrous, yes, Journeys is coming in late January. So that's probably where I got the late January from.
So the Disney Parks blog did not really offer any more insight to what these two shows are going to be than what we had already gotten at the D23 Expo.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm craving more. We did get to hear the song that will accompany the new fireworks show. That's always hard for me to listen to a song that's going to be accompanying a show. So same thing in 2019 for the expo that year, they announced Magic Happens.
Yeah.
And they performed the song Magic Happens on stage. It's always, and I didn't really like the song.
Me either.
At that point. But when I see the song with the parade, then I like it. So
yeah,
that was kind of the feeling I got for the song for the Wondrous Journeys show. That's the new fireworks show that's coming. Tag was saying that you kind of felt it was a little slow in the beginning.
Yes.
But it feels like there's always some sort of talking in the beginning of fireworks shows, whether it's a quote or the narrator or whatever. So anyway, so I'm holding off judgment until we actually see the show with the song. I think it's going to make more sense. But I want more. The art looks beautiful, though.
So the song for World of Color 1 is going to be called Start a Wave, and the song for the Wondrous Journeys show is going to be called Wondrous.
It's Wondrous, yes. Well, the Disney Parks blog did what we were hoping Josh D'Amaro was going to announce, but didn't, at the D23 Expo last week. They gave us some information on magic bands that are coming to Disneyland. We do not have an exact date yet, but they did confirm that magic bands should be at the resort for guests this fall. The Magic Band Plus will allow guests to get into the parks, redeem Lightning Lane reservations, and even link their photo pass photos and more. Some of the flashier features, no pun intended, include glowing with the nighttime entertainment and adding the ability to play some new games that have yet to be officially announced at Disneyland parks.
Yeah, so one of these things we talked about before, there's that interactive game coming to Galaxy's Edge that's, yeah, already out in Florida.
The Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, that Bounty Hunter game seems really cool. I find it interesting that we had a few years ago, we had the ears and the wands and stuff that was the glow with the show. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these magic bands are like the new version of that, because they
condensed version
can interact with all of that. The thing where I think this will be successful where those were not was most people are going to want a magic band. The price is not too bad on a magic band. It's going to be so convenient to use for things.
I want to say the price for the magic band pluses are $35.
Right. But like the ears and the wands and stuff were all pretty expensive and people weren't going
to
buy those.
Well, and you can only use those to glow with the show, yeah, you know, whereas this has, you're using it all, right, day. It's rechargeable, so you can use it multiple trips.
I have not read recently. I hope that the battery situation has gotten better, because it is where a lot of people were complaining that the batteries would go dead pretty quick. Hopefully they figured that out. I haven't heard any complaints recently, so I'm guessing they've figured something out with it, because there is some software updating that they can do with it. Also, I think that just how they interact with it can use the battery differently or not. But I'm very excited, because we talked about this in our chat today a little bit, that one of the things that's really frustrating and slows things down at the front gates is having to get your passes on the phone, where if it's just on your Magic Band, that'll be really convenient. Same thing with when you're redeeming your Lightning Lanes or anything like that. Not having to pull my phone out as much just in general with the Magic Band's pluses will be so much better. Plus, the fact that Disneyland is a annual pass holder, Magic Key holder, local park, I would have thought that this would have been more successful here, because everybody don't know how to use it, and you could sell so many bands, because each band has different designs. So you'd think that Disney would love to do this because of the fact that you could have so many variety of Magic Bands.
Yeah, I'm just really excited, because I think this will add, you know, a different level of convenience. And the thing that I appreciate about this is it's not something that you have to have. So if Magic Bands aren't something you're excited about and it's not something that you think is for you, or, you know, it can get expensive. If you have, you know, a family, it's $35, $35, $35, $35, that can add up real quick. So I love that you have the option of it. It's not something you have to do, and it's not going to, is it more convenient if you have it? 100%. I think so. For me, it is anyways, but it's not going to slow you down, as it were, in your park day. You can still do everything without a Magic Band through the app. But if you are somebody like myself that is trying to not be on their phone so much and maybe only using their phone for photos and not having to fumble around in the app, I love this option a lot, because this is where I always come into like fault with pulling my stuff up early, is when it comes to using my discounts while shopping.
Oh, yes.
Is that's the time I always forget to do it. And of course, that's the time you're always sitting there and you're waiting forever for your app to load. And then you feel like everyone behind you is staring at you,
and
like, what
reason,
is taking so long?
That's always when like your Wi-Fi connection
is slow. Yeah, that's when the Wi-Fi stops or you know, whatever. So, and I think this will be helpful for cast members too, because they're not having to wait for phone technology to wake up and talk to the internet or the wherever to be able to pull information up so that they could help guests. So it should help speed some things up for us.
Well, and we saw how speedy it was for Oogie Boogie Bash when they had the QR code on our wristband.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was so much more convenient.
We'll talk about that later, but yeah, that was amazing.
So much more convenient. One of the announcements from the D23 Expo last weekend was the new name of the hotel, formerly known as the Paradise Pier Hotel. The Pixar Place Hotel will be the name when the refurbishment is complete. No date on when that is yet. A Finding Nemo themed splash pad will be coming to the hotel, along with the Southern California team from Great Maple, which will run the restaurant on the first floor, along with other food and beverage locations at the hotel.
That was a brand new part of the announcement, because the expo, they did not announce that Great Maple was going to be involved and in the new hotel. Mm-hmm. So that was something that they just released with this Disney Parks Blogs announcement. So this is really fun. It looks very fancy and very nice. This is going to sound ridiculous, but I breathed a sigh of relief when they announced that the name was going to be the Pixar Place Hotel, because you just know that everybody's going to call it the Pixar Hotel.
Yep.
So I'm glad that they
just bought into it,
just leaned into it and went with it. Pixar Place Hotel sounds a little bit more fancy than just the Pixar Hotel.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how this all comes together.
They had me with the food location. They had me fans of fried chicken and maple bacon donuts.
Yep.
If you have never had a maple bacon donut, you are missing out, friends. We have Linda's Bakery here, and mm-hmm. they have maple bacon donuts, mm-hmm. and they are amazing. So I'm hoping these ones at this new Pixar Place Hotel will be like that.
So the Disney Parks blog is explaining Great Maple as a modern American eatery that specializes in upscale comfort food with a twist, serving fresh takes on American classics for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious to try them out. I still think Harryhausen's, a sushi restaurant, would have been the perfect restaurant to have included in the Pixar Hotel, but you know, what do I know?
Maybe it'll come in the future.
Maybe.
Maybe.
One can hope. The Princess and the Frog has come to New Orleans Square long before the retheming of Splash Mountain. Eudora's Chic Boutique featuring Tiana's Gourmet Secrets opened this week and offers Princess and the Frog themed merchandise, cooking supplies, and Tiana's own spices and sauces. Imagineers designed the story of the shop to be owned by Tiana's mother, Eudora. The shop is just one main space that is pretty small, with the walls covered in artwork showing the lives and scenes of New Orleans and Tiana herself.
So I was saying in our chat earlier today, I do not ever recall going into this space. I have,
and I'm not surprised that you have never gone into this space. So the space formerly was Le Baton Rouge, which was basically a miniature dress Disney dress shop. So there was a lot of the Disney dresses in there, a lot of the kind of like jewelry accessory things and purses that go along with those. Actually, that was where I bought Vern's Hawaiian button-up, like the Trader Sam's print shirt. I did buy that there. They had those, you know, the guy for the guy's shirts or the Hawaiian style shirts. Yeah. They had those in there too. But basically a mini Disney dress shop is what it was. And it kind of had this really cool hole in the wall feel. And seeing the photos that the Disney food blog posted, because they visit, it did open today as we're recording this, the 20th of September. Seeing their photos, it looks like it still kind of has that same like hole in the wall feel, best kept secret type thing.
Well, and now that we didn't know at the time, but now that you can see inside of this location, the fact that there was all those rumors that it was going to be a food service location, it's pretty obvious that this could never be a food service location. It would have been
like a to-go only, like kind of like the Mint Julep bar. Like,
exactly.
Grab your stuff and go. There was no space for seating.
Yeah.
So the one thing I will mention is, thus far, reports have said that the Tiana's own spices and sauces that have been promised to be available at this location are not there yet. Mm. So as of this recording, those have not shown up. Hopefully, they will be showing up in the near future, though.
I'm just sad that this opened like a week after we left.
I know. Next time.
Because I would have liked to have gone and seen
this. Next trip.
Well, overnight guests at Disney Resort hotels will have a special experience for Halloween this year. Each hotel will offer trick-or-treating with a treat map for each hotel, with locations handing out complimentary candy. Hotel guests are encouraged to sign up at the front desk of their Disney Resort hotel. The dates for this are October 28th through the 31st. On Halloween night, there will also be a costume contest on the Adventure Lawn at the Disneyland Hotel. Which one is the Adventure Lawn? I feel like you are intimately familiar with all of these.
Yes, the Adventure Lawn. So the Adventure Lawn gazebo was where we got married. That was the ceremony. Now, if you're standing at the gazebo and looking out, that's the Adventure Lawn. Like, it's really literally that green space.
Sure, that big green space.
That big green space right there. That's the Adventure Lawn.
Hmm.
So it's just past Trader Sam's.
And across, the big gazebo.
Yep, across from, like, the big wedding gazebo. Well, across from both of the wedding gazebos. It's a nice little quiet corner. I think it'd be fun. They've got cafe lights, so they string up lights out there. So they have, like, cafe lights hanging out. This sounds very, very cool to me. Like, I think this would be a very fun experience. If I were staying at the hotel during this, I think, how fun, right? You've got, like, maybe you've gone to Oogie Boogie Bash and you're not ready for the party to end, and you can go trick-or-treating at your hotel the next night or, you know, something like that.
I don't think you need the extra candy from that, but yes. I just feel like Disney's like, you know, we got too much candy this year. Let's do some trick-or-treating as well.
It's just fun stuff. Why not, right?
No, absolutely. But just make sure that you guys know you do have to be a hotel guest for this.
Yes. Well, weekly tiers who are interested in attending grad night events at the resort will have to pay a little more this year. Ticket prices are up between 8% to 22% compared to last year. The grad night party experience is $99 on weekdays and $104 on weekends. All day DCA admission with the grad night party and park hopper option is $199 for weekdays and $219 for weekends.
So I keep seeing this posted everywhere, and they don't talk about the pricing. They just go, this thing has gone up some crazy amount. They always just say the 22%. Well, just to be clear, guys, basically the 8 to 22% ends up being $10 to $15 depending on the ticket rate, basically. I don't have it linked in here because I can't remember where I saw it, but there was a site that had the old pricing and the new pricing, and it was not that much of a difference. It sounds really bad when you put it in a percentage like that.
Yeah.
But it's only $10 to $20 more per ticket, which I know that can be a lot, but it's not quite as much as people are kind of making it out
well,
to be.
Well, something else that is exciting is there will be 15 dates in May and June to celebrate grad night. This is a side tangent, but we were talking about Star Wars night, the After Dark event for Star Wars, and it dawned on me when going through and finding news and seeing all the dates that if grad night is happening in May and closing DCA early for grad night festivities, that is why we cannot have a full month of May Star Wars night celebrations, because they cannot have both Disneyland and DCA closed for private party, private ticket events. I did accidentally. I just kind of stumbled into that one. So if they do another Star Wars After Dark night, well, they could. Oh, man. I don't know. They could do it. It'd have to be like opposite days, because it's not like grad nights every single day of the week. It's, you know, just a couple nights each week. But still, like, so I could see why they're only focusing on one after hour, you know, private ticketed event thing at a time.
The painting was wrapped up at the Hollywood Lounge in the Hollywood Pictures backlot area of Disney California Adventure. The signs have been converted to digital displays, and a new mural has appeared with the lounge's name on the side. The menu, although, has not been updated.
You know, this looks very nice. Like, is it really just a fresh coat of paint on an existing? Yes, it 100% is a fresh coat of paint on an existing building, but it just looks just fresh and vibrant. And the oversized, I don't know, bottle cap looking signs that they have on either side of the location now kind of just makes it pop and draws more attention to it. So
it needed this too.
It did need this fresh coat of paint. I'm curious to see nighttime photos to see if, you know, did they do anything extra with the neon out there? Did the neon get a refresh? Did they add more? Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of stuff.
I feel like this is an area of DCA that they're kind of doing a little bare minimum with it, that they're just kind of holding out to whatever they're
going
to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think they know what they're going to do with it quite yet as part of the problem. Yeah.
But hopefully they have better drinks than the drink you had there that time.
That's true. That's very true. Well, another patent has been posted that was requested by Disney. This time, it's for a glasses-free VR attraction experience. In basic terms, the new technology would use projections and reflections, much like the Pepper's Ghost effect that we have had in the Haunted Mansion for years now. Of course, just because a patent is filed doesn't mean that it will show up anywhere in the parks anytime soon, but it's still exciting.
It is neat. Like, the thought of using something that's so old, like a Pepper's Ghost effect, with new technology to make something appear 3D and in front of you, that's really like a cool idea. And I hope at some point that we'll see something come of this. I think we've seen a little bit of that. I mean, years ago, we saw that patent for that lightsaber.
That's
and
true.
We ended up seeing that. So let's hope that this is one of those things that we get to see.
Eventually, you never
eventually.
Know.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom, with stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All Weekly Tiers board!
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. It's good to be back. I can't believe you two skipped your visit to Trivia Land last week.
Well, we had other trips that were good, which we'll talk about after the trivia.
Ooh, that's good to hear. But I think I got some doozies for you. Some listeners definitely aren't being nice to you, and we'll see if I'm being nice as well.
I did ask producer James how he thought we would do tonight, and he said, probably not very good. I said, well, who did it to us? He said, well, there's a couple from Weekly Tiers, and there's a couple from me. I'm like, you were even mean to us?
I was even mean to you.
So here we go, I guess.
Exactly. Our first question comes from listener Lauren L., in the Disneyland park, there's a place where people used to hide notes for each other, and this was shown in a TikTok.
Oh, the back of the white rabbit statue by the bathrooms.
Yep, there was a hole in the backside of the clock.
I wonder what they used that for, like what the purpose of that little panel. Maybe they had a speaker in there and it would like randomly make noise or something occasionally. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's Weekly Tiers out there who might know, and if you do, feedback at dlweekly.net.
All right, our second question this week. In the queue for Indy, there's a blue and white sign high in the rafters of the projection room, or at least at some point there was. What's the significance of the sign?
It's the Eeyore parking lot sign.
Yeah.
And I think we came to the conclusion that it probably isn't there anymore. Didn't we kind of determine? Because every time we've looked for it, we haven't been able to see it.
Well, so supposedly to see it, you have to talk to a cast member and they have to like shine their flashlight up there for you to be able to see it because it's pretty buried. The time that I asked a cast member, they like, just very quickly like shown
their
light.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, they very quickly like. So I didn't catch a glimpse of it.
Sure.
So I don't know if it's still there or not. But I do know you have to have like, supposedly it's like in a shadow. So you have to have a flashlight to see it.
Just to be clear, the significance is it was built on the Eeyore section of the parking lot.
So it's in remembrance of Eeyore.
In remembrance.
And his sacrifice of his parking lot.
It's okay. Our third question this week comes from listener Louise B. In the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay, which Nightmare Before Christmas character is holding the list of good boys and girls in the attic scene?
Oh, no. I don't know the name of the snake.
Is there a name of the snake?
No.
Okay. Snake. It's the orange and black snake.
And our final question this week, now that I was kindly reminded by a listener that Hawaii is indeed part of the United States, and I should have used that in an episode a couple times ago and asking about North American references. Whoops, I'm going to bravely ask another It's a Small World question.
Oh boy.
So my question for you is, put the continents you visit in It's a Small World in order.
Oh no. Okay. So
what are you doing to us, James?
Hey, there's only 7 options. You just got to relive the ride.
So you come in through
Antarctica.
Because it's like the penguins and stuff, right? We're doing by continents?
Yes. So it's Antarctica. The last one is North America. I've got that one. Okay.
I thought the last one was like all the whole world. Will you stop singing over there?
Okay, so.
Sorry, I thought you needed theme music.
No. We got to ride it this time. And we actually waited in line for it, if you can believe that.
So what is like the Hawaii section? That's not a continent.
Would that be Polynesia? But will that be
the Pacific Islands? What do you call
that? James, what continent is the Pacific Islands?
Pacific Islands? We'd probably classify those as Australia or Oceania.
Okay, Oceania.
But Hawaii we would put towards North America.
Okay. So you come in and you're in Antarctica, then hold on, I'm envisioning this. You go in and then you take a left. What are we taking a left at? Because is that where, that's where like Pinocchio is. Stop.
Yeah, that's like Germany. That's Europe.
Europe. And then is it Asia?
So we go through Europe, Asia.
Because the next one you go through is there's the flying carpets and the.
Yep.
Asia.
And then is it South America?
Probably.
Do you go through South America? I think it's South America. When do you go through the jungle and then the jungle and then the ocean?
Yes, because there's the giraffes, and then after you pass the giraffes, you're in the with Stitch and everything.
Okay, so
I'm so glad we were in the parks
jungle?
Last week.
Okay, we've got Antarctica, Europe,
Africa,
Asia.
Africa would be the jungle.
Whew, okay, so we've got Antarctica, Europe, Asia, South America, Africa, Oceania, North America.
Did you get that, James?
I got it.
I'm so glad we
went on. But did you get it?
I'm hopeful.
All right, listeners at home, do you have the right trip around the world? Do Tag and Teresa? Well, we'll have to wait until after our discussion topic to be confident.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are going to finish up our story of how our week went at the park. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the food and stuff we had. We're going to talk about the Oogie Boogie Bash and our experience there with all the character meet and greets and kind of how we attacked it. And then we're going to finish up with what our last like little half day was. So we can get started with that.
So Monday was our first day in the parks. Well, no, our first full day in the parks. Super fun. We actually were more... How do I want to say this? We weren't very ride focused this trip. So we just kind of really truly went with the Disney winds and just kind of did a little here, did a little there. I don't think we rode our first attraction until like 2 p.m., maybe almost 3 p.m. It was actually quite late. But we did get to experience some fun stuff. Like we did go see Tale of the Lion King back at the Fantasyland Theater, which was amazing. Like so fantastic. So much fun. So if you've seen Tale of the Lion King when it was over in DCA and it was kind of out on the surface of the sun, as I like to call it, because they had it in the World of Color, like seating areas where they had the stage set up. It was always, there's no shade. And it was always in the middle of the day. It seemed like that they had these performances. Very good, very fun show. Just kind of difficult to watch because it was just, I always just felt so bad for those performers being out.
Yeah.
Like right in the baking zone, I guess. But so enjoyable, so much fun to watch in the Fantasyland Theater. What did you think?
I thought that the performers were really good. It was kind of an interesting experience because I thought it was going to be like a longer show, and it was about 23, 24 mm-hmm. minutes, but it, like, and I mean this in the best way, it felt long.
It did.
But it was short.
They had a lot packed into that 20 to 25 minutes. It was mm-hmm. great. So if you had seen it in DCA before,
yep.
it's basically that show, but better. They plused it. Mm-hmm. There's more, I feel like, you know, there's obviously more of a set now that it's on the theater. The sound quality is incredible. I mean, I felt like we watched a mini Broadway musical. Like, that's the caliber of music and vocals that we got to enjoy and experience. It was so pleasant. Before the show started, though, I actually stopped over at the Troubadour Tavern and grabbed myself, I believe they called it a jungle juice. Delicious. There was this fun little like bright red, we thought it was a flower on top. I actually think it was a piece of like a thinly sliced piece of dehydrated pineapple. That was really delicious. You had some of that, but it was a very, very fruity and very refreshing drink. So highly recommend it because we went to the show kind of in the middle of the day. So it was hot. So it was perfect way to cool off and enjoy the show. After that, we actually went over to Docking Bay because there was a new dish over at Docking Bay that you wanted to try.
Yeah, so I had the Gungan broth noodles, which were pretty similar to, they had a special thing that had some noodles and stuff a few months ago when we were there, and I thought it was really, really good, and I wanted to have this again. It was a roasted pork with angel hair pasta, bok choy, mushrooms, a yuzu tomato compote, and pesto tonkatsu broth. Very good. The broth was really good. And of course, we ordered the dessert they've had there for quite a while. That's also very
yes,
good.
Yes, the mineral mousse dessert.
And Teresa was very upset at me because I ate the
tiny little, I don't even know what it is. It looks like a blueberry, but it's not.
But it's got like super concentrated flavor. And Teresa was like, you ate the best part.
Yeah. Anyways, I was an adult and ordered the fried chicken tip yip youngling meal, which was very good. It was basically,
can we talk about your hesitation first?
I was very hesitant about ordering this.
Why?
Because the photo online showed that the tip yip or the chicken was like in a cube shape, and it was messing with my mind. I'm like, am I just going to order a basically giant chicken nugget? Like, it's just this like weird process, whatever. I don't know how I feel about this, but that's not what it actually was. I want to say it was like a piece of chicken. Maybe it was chicken thigh. It wasn't chicken breast.
Sure.
That had been breaded and fried to, oh my gosh. I was not a nice person and didn't allow you to try any of this. That breading, so good. So it was thick, crunchy, super seasoned well, flavorful, super yummy. And it came with some macaroni and cheese. With that, though, I did try the new cold brew, which is the cold brew black cap with taro topper. So it's their nitro cold brew, but it's topped with a sweet taro cream. How do I feel about that compared to the original cold brew black cap? I think I prefer the original over the new one. The new
sure.
one was my, I will start with say this, the new cold brew with the taro topper was my favorite of all the seasonal cold brews that I did try on this trip. It was my favorite, hands down. But if I had to choose between the taro topper and the original cold brew black calf, I think I'd have to go with the black calf. It's not even because of the little crunchy things on. They're both very good, though. It'd be a very hard toss. But I liked the creaminess of the original cold brew black calf better. But man, it was good. It was my favorite of all of the seasonals. Technically, the horchata is a seasonal. It's been around for over a season now because I
right.
want to say I had that on at least the last trip, if not maybe the trip before. That one is also tippity top of my list. I hope that one stays around. And that one you can find at Rancho.
So that same day we did Rancho and you got the horchata cold brew, which you had before mm-hmm. and you liked that. I actually tasted it because I got the trio of street tacos and they're a little spicier than they used to be. So Teresa was like, here, try some of my horchata cold brew because it's got creaminess in it. It definitely cooled my mouth off, although my lips were still burnt. But another good experience at Rancho, though. And mm-hmm. The mobile order there was great, because last time we were there, they didn't have mobile order at Rancho.
Yeah.
So that was really good.
That was a new experience. It worked out really well for us. We mobile ordered. We decided to do Rancho for kind of like our brunch that morning. So we mobile ordered. We weren't really sure what to do because there was this big standby line yes. out the front door. And Tag just kind of had this little, I'm going to just poke my head in the like exit where the registers are and just poke my head in and see, because that's where we thought that the counter was for mobile order pickup, and that's exactly what you do. You go in the exit to pick up your mobile order when it's ready. So that was really slick, really convenient. I do want to share a really cool story and experience that we had right after dinner. We went over to Rise of the Resistance because the line wait time didn't seem too awful.
We were also testing. People had told us all week that they thought that anytime it had said that there was like an hour wait, that they were able to get on a lot quicker. So we wanted to kind of test that.
I kind of feel like that's always been my experience with Rise of the Resistance. And I feel like it's difficult, right? Because you've got these paid lightning lanes. You don't necessarily, yes, they have time frames that they're supposed to show back up during, but you don't necessarily know when right. they're going to show up. So I feel like they're always going to say the wait's longer just to give themselves that cushion. Right. Anyways, while we were waiting in line, Tag and one of our weekly tiers that met up with us were nerding out together, which was awesome because they were all excited about all the behind the scenes and how do you do this. And
well,
Tag explained to me how the first transport thing works and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden I realized this family that was right in front of us, it was a family of four, and they were all just awestruck. And I'm like, guys, we have a family of first timers right in front of us.
Sure.
Shh, like, let's not spoil the magic. So, you know, whatever. So you actually asked them after we walked through the stormtrooper room, you know, so what do you think? And they just thought that room was incredible. And I think you kind of said, like,
I just needed, my thing was I needed to talk about something else because I would have just continued to nerd out about how everything was done. The weekly tier we were with also happens to work at Disney yeah. in a different capacity. So we were, me and him were nerding about IT stuff because yeah. he does IT stuff. And so we were nerding out about generic IT stuff, nothing specific to Disney, but just generic, you know, nerds getting together and being nerdy. And so, yes, so I was like, what did you think of that? Isn't that so cool? Did you notice the ship and stuff? Because that was one thing that we had talked about before.
With Philander.
Was that you had never turned around and noticed that the ship was there. So we,
anyways, we
talked
through,
that it was amazing. Yeah.
We, spoiler alert, get away from the First Order and make it sure. back to Batu. And we were kind of lamenting because we had gotten split up from this family and lamenting right. like, oh, it would have been so cool to have been in the same transport with this family. And then all of a sudden we looked up because they had
Luckily, she had very distinct ears.
We had a donut set of ears was what the daughter was wearing. And then the mother
the
was,
mom
wearing,
was wearing the
like
donut ears.
Kind of like florally ears.
No.
So anyway, so we ran over and asked them how it was. And we just had a really cool, it was a really cool and fun time. They're super fans. Star Wars is very near and dear to their heart. And so mm-hmm. it was just really cool to kind of chat with them about their experience, what they thought. They were just like totally mind blown. And then you even told them, oh, you know, which when you went up, you know, when you're in the AT-AT room or the AT-AT room, which side do you see? And they didn't realize, like, they're like, there's two different ways to do this right. attraction. So it was just very cool.
And they were very happy. Like, it's funny because us talking to them about the attraction was almost, it was kind of funny because we got so much joy out of hearing their first yes, experience. Yes. It was like we had created the attraction, even though we didn't, obviously. No, yeah. But it was fun because Teresa thought it was hilarious because I said, well, do you want to know how some of this stuff was done? And they were like, sure. So I started going and rambling. And Teresa thought I was going to give them like one or two spoilers. But I went through the entire attraction and told them how every single thing was done. And Teresa afterwards was like, I don't know if they wanted all of that, but they thanked us and said, thank you for coming,
cool.
because I ran to them off the distance to ask them like what they
oh,
thought.
Oh, no, you didn't. There's no running in Disney.
Sorry, I pranced. I don't know. Over to them. And they thanked us for talking about yeah. it and like it taking like making their first experience something that wasn't just them. It was because yeah. like there was just a lot of fandom and fun there. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really great experience. So I hope we run into some more people in the parks that haven't done things before and be able to have interactions like that, because it was really great.
The thing that I like really thought was so cool about it is I had kind of forgotten, but after we had parted ways with this family, we were kind of talking about the experience. And I looked at Tag. I said, you know what? Somebody did that for us the first time we rode Rise of the Resistance. The first time we rode in 2020 was actually in Walt Disney World. And there was a woman there who was an annual pass holder. And she was somewhere near us in line basically kind of the same thing. We weren't in the same ride. We didn't end up in the same ride vehicle as her, but she had gotten off, I think, before us, and she stood and waited for us to get off our transport and exit the attraction, and then, you know, talked about the experience with us. And so I just thought that was kind of cool. I didn't realize what a full circle moment it was until after it happened. I had totally forgotten about it. It was very, very cool. But that was honestly one of the highlights of the trip, just because it was such a cool thing to share with, you know, strangers.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really fun. Really fun experience.
Definitely a lot of fun.
So after that, we actually parked hop over to DCA.
Oh, man.
Which, let me tell you, we were park hopping to, like, maybe hit up an attraction, watch World of Color, end our night, that sort of thing. And holy
packed.
Cow, I don't know why, but DCA was the happening place on that Monday night. So we...
And a bunch of stuff went down.
A bunch of stuff was down, which made, you know, made things even more crowded. But we actually did something really unique. And I would, if you're somebody that visits the parks frequently and wants to watch World of Color from a different point of view, we actually watched from the side. We were over by the Jumpin' Jellyfish area. There are some people that go over there. Much different view. We weren't able to see the projection mist screens very well, but it was really interesting watching the fountains and how they work and all that stuff. So it was really, really cool. And we felt it. You're very close to the fountains as well. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was fun.
You don't miss out on really any of the fountain stuff.
No.
But it was kind of an interesting way. I did have to laugh because we were hungry and we're kind of like trying to find, everywhere had long lines, and we were trying to make sure that we could watch World of Color. And we ended up going to Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta, and I was kind of looking around, and poor Teresa, she couldn't find anything that she was that excited about or whatever, so she got these garlic breadsticks, which, you know, it's Disney, it was like $5 for these two breadsticks. And I was like, well, how's your breadsticks? She's like, I don't think they were $5 good enough. So that was kind of a fun experience. But it was a really great, I thought it was a great place to kind of sit over there.
It was really fun.
Teresa finally got the... So she tried the first time we saw World of Color, not the first time, but like the last time. She was recording for, I think, Instagram. And at the end of the pirate scene, there's this giant fireball that happens. And she stopped recording right before that giant fireball. So this time she's like, I'm going to get the fireball. So we're standing off to the side. She's taking this video. The fireball happens. She turns to me and she goes, the light pole that's right in front of us was directly in front of the fireball. So my thought is, it's just not meant for you to record this.
Nope, it's not meant to be. So Oogie Boogie Bash, Tuesday night. I was really happy with how our plan kind of came together with how to attack the layout of Oogie Boogie Bash. I think, not to like boast, I think we did really, really well. We got to go to every single villain treat trail. We got to go through Villains Grove. We got to do the Frightfully Fun Parade, and we got to meet Bruno and the Sanderson sisters. From what I've seen of other people online that have gone,
and
they're
Ernesto.
Like,
we got to see Ernesto.
Well, and that's what, he's one of the treat trails.
Right.
So we got to do, and go to the Magic Key special offering thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am shocked. I don't really know how we were able to crunch it all in, but we did it, and I'm so excited that we did. So we started at the back of the park.
Before that, though, I want to tackle something. Oh. So before, because you can get in at, 3 o'clock or whatever it was?
Yeah.
2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We came in through the Grand Californian entrance because we had dining reservations.
At 3:10 that we did not want to miss.
In DCA. So the line was really long. So just be aware that as you get close to that 3 o'clock time, the line for that entrance is going to be really long. It was also delayed a little bit because on our particular day, there was something with the, they didn't have the wristbands you needed for the night. Like, they were waiting for them to show up. So it was kind of a delay with that. But we got in, no problem. And then we kind of hung out in the park and did some park stuff. And one of the things that I just want to be clear with people, that we got a little bit of a late start to the party.
We did.
Because the park closed at 6. But Teresa and I and some Weekly Tears had rode the Incredicoaster. And then some other Weekly Tears had shown up. And I wanted to make sure that I rode with them. And Teresa was like, once is enough for me.
I hung out with the other Weekly Tears. We were the cheerleaders on the sidelines.
So we ended up not starting the party till probably closer to 6:30. 6:15, 6:30.
Yeah.
So that's where we started.
So we started at the back. My plan was to start at the back, work our way forward.
Did we do that last time or am I crazy?
We did do that last time. I think it works pretty well. So we started with Sid. He's as evil as always.
Now, we've seen from pictures, there actually are
two
friends of Sid's that hang out. Mm-hmm. And just be aware of that because the one that we got was great.
He's the same that we had seen last year. Yeah. He was funny though, because I was chatting actually one of the Tag and I founded as Madam Mim and Merlin, and our friends over at All Enchantineers made us custom ears to go along with our bounds. So I had 3D printed Madam Mim ears. Tag had 3D printed Merlin ears, and they were specifically, we were supposed to be the wizard duel scene. So I had Madam Mim on one ear and Madam Mim in her dragon form on the other ear, and Tag had Merlin in his human form and Merlin as a germ, because that's how Merlin defeats Mim in the wizard duel, on his ear. So anyway, so we were getting a lot of cast members specifically stopping us, asking us about the ears. Plus, I'm literally wearing bright pink and purple, so it wasn't like I was blending in with the crowd. So anyways, I was chatting with one of the cast members while we were in line getting our treat trails, and Tag's like, Sid's looking over at us. I said, oh, he's probably just looking at us. He's like, no, I think he's going to pick on us.
I said, he's going to pick on us.
I'm like, no, I think he's just looking out in the crowd. So as soon as I step, like, my first foot into, like, the Sid zone of the treat trail,
it's like the splash
zone started. And the entire time, he's kind of intimidating. We were having, like, a back and forth conversation, and he was asking me if I was Madam Mim, and if I was Madam Mim, why was I back here? Because I was supposed to be over there, da-da-da-da. So I was like, he was quick. He was good, but, man, he's intimidating. But it was a lot of fun. I think you got that all recorded, so I'll have to share that at some point.
Yes, I did. And luckily for me doing that, like, he kind of ignored me and picked on you.
Yes, yeah,
so.
Lucky you. That's true.
And that happened later with when you met Madam Mim later as well, we'll talk about.
Are you supposed to see that Madam Mim there? Why are you over here? You're supposed to be over there. You got lost? You got lost. How did you get lost here?
Well, I heard you were
I heard you have magic. You should just be able to teleport wherever you want.
It's true.
Yeah. Then after that, we went over to honestly, this is going to sound crazy. This is maybe have been one of the longest lines we waited in all night, was the magic key spot. So it's back over by the Silly Symphony Swings.
Under it, basically.
Under the Silly Symphony Swings. They've had other magic key specific things at the same spot. But we went through, we did get this is going to sound so nerdy and dorky. I really wanted to stop and get this thing, not for its true function, because I wanted it to be functional for us during the party, but they had a magic key popcorn holder thing. So basically it was like a reusable tote bag, but it was smaller so that you could put a box of popcorn in it and kind of have a flap and a lid. And I wanted to use it for additional candy space.
Which we ended up using your backpack and my backpack
for candy
storage.
We filled both of our backpacks, but I did use mine because they do give you sun chips and like graham cracker things and things that could get crushed by the candy. So I did put that in my. So we picked up our magic key gift. They did give us there was a treat trail thing in there, which included a full size candy bar, which was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And then there was also a fun photo op that looked like it was kind of like a Nightmare Before Christmas themed photo op this year. Last year it was Sanderson Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So we went around, did that, went and visited with Dr. Facilier, and then it was parade time. So even though we did the dining package, we camped out and sat across from where the cappuccino cart is, next to where the Ariel's Undersea Adventure entrances.
Yeah. The other side of it.
Yep. I would say my tip, if you watch the parade, try and watch the parade more on that side, because it starts back by the Silly Symphony Swings, then makes its way down
both
and around.
Both times, by the way.
Yeah, both times it starts and then makes its way down and around and ends on, you know, Buenavista Street going past the Guardians Tower. So we went up there, and then I realized after the parade was going past us that Bruno's meet and greet was literally like right behind us. So as soon as the parade left, we beelined it over for Bruno. That was a fun experience.
The cast member for Bruno was really great. So it was kind of funny. So we waited. The line moved, by the way. Some of these more popular meet and greets, these cast members had it down. They were coming and telling you, no individual photos, only group photos. It's going to be really quick. Put your bags down over here. Get in the photo. Like, they were very efficient.
Zip, zip, zip.
And so Bruno came over and got us, and I'm wearing this blue shirt for Merlin, like Teresa was talking about. And he's like, oh, I like your, what did he say? It was like a green
he
shirt
said
or something?
Green first.
Yeah, he said it was a green shirt. I said, oh, it's blue. He goes, oh, blue. And then he went off on this whole tangent about how he doesn't see colors very well and talked about how things look green because of his visions and all that. He was talking mostly to Teresa about this, and I was kind of zoning out on something else, but he was very, very cool.
Fun.
And then Teresa was amazed because they took two pictures of us, and we didn't move, but he totally was in a different pose for both pictures, and I don't even know how he did it. And this happened with a lot of characters that night.
My favorite photo that they captured of us with Bruno was actually when Bruno was talking to us, because like Tag was saying, Bruno was telling us about his like his visions and that kind of thing. So it's a very, it was just a very cool, very natural photo. That's my favorite of the ones we got. After meeting Bruno, I think we swung over and did the treat trail for Mother Gothel.
Yes.
She was also very, very fun.
Yeah, she. We were laughing because she had her dagger.
Yes.
And she was like, oh, this? I use this for opening my
it's
fan mail.
It's a letter
mail.
Opener. Yes, it's just a letter opener. Nothing to see here. After going through and meeting Mother Gothel, we headed back to meet Maleficent. Now, that was, we didn't have a cool interaction with Maleficent, but we got to see a very cool interaction with Maleficent.
This was amazing. So this little girl, she was probably 4 or 5 at the most, and she's wearing Maleficent outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I want to take the audio from this and put this into the podcast because it is hilarious.
Share a name. I suppose if I were to share it with but one, it could be you. Tell me, my pet, have you done anything very naughty tonight? Really? Even a little bit? Have you quarreled with a sibling? Taken candy from a baby, cut a line, placed a curse on an entire kingdom, anything?
It was so adorable.
After Maleficent, I think is when we ran over and we decided we were going to go, we had to go see Ernesto, because, I mean, it's Ernesto de la Cruz. Well, let me tell you, everybody else wants to see Ernesto because he is freaking amazing.
We almost didn't go.
We went past the Ernesto line because Ernesto's line was, like I said, the longest line. We got to the end of it. We asked about, how long is this going to be? And they said, I think it was like 30, 45 minutes. But then another cast member said, Agatha, you know, there's no wait for Agatha. So we're like, okay, let's go see Agatha. And then we'll, because Agatha's exit actually exited into where Ernesto's line started.
To be clear for Ernesto, the meet and greet is in that little kind of gated area
It's just across from where the waterfall on the backside of Grizzly Peak is.
So the line went through that, out, circled back, did a what the heck?
A ziggity-zig.
A switchback back and forth, and then went into Avengers Campus in front, the hole down the side of where Spider-Man flips around, and to basically the corner of that building.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, that's going to be too long. We went and saw Agatha.
What did it take us,
10 minutes? It moved.
The line moved. However, as soon as we got into the treat trail area, we got our first trick-or-treat stop, and I looked up on the stage and Ernesto was not there, but the cast members were very kind. They said, oh, Ernesto's just taking a break. He'll be back in about 5 minutes. If you want to see him, you can go ahead. And they allowed us to go around the roped off area, and we got to stand like on the edge of the stage. So we got to like look up at Ernesto, which was very, very cool. So we hung around and waited for Ernesto to come out. And that was an experience
for us,
worth
the wait. So
it was totally worth the wait.
First of all, he comes out. Everybody, of course, is there to see him sing.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks a lot in the beginning, at least when we were there.
He kind of had to, like, he made an entrance, we'll say.
Yes.
So he comes out and he's holding what, a dozen? Half dozen.
Something like
half
that.
Half dozen roses. A half dozen white roses. And so it's this, who's my biggest fan? Then he tosses a rose out to that person. I can't remember what all the things
were. So he's giving out things to people and making all these compliments and comments and everything that are really fantastic. And then Teresa gets a rose
for
him.
I don't even remember.
And instead of things being thrown, he hands it to her.
It was like slow motion when he handed it to me.
And it was a real rose.
It was a real rose. I got a real white rose. I got to walk around with the rest of the night and just
I think he thought we were together, though, because when he was reaching out to give it to you, I looked at his eyes and he looked over at me like, is this going to be okay? And then gave it to you. And I was just like, I had the look of like, I don't care. Yeah. She's not my person.
Not my problem. It was very fun, and I was very thankful because it happened, and I don't think any of us that were there thought that it was going to happen and that one of us would get picked.
One of our weekly tears
and one of
was
our
with
weekly
us.
Tears actually caught it on film.
Thank
so that was really
goodness.
Cool because everybody was kind of like awestruck that we got picked, you know, that kind of
if
thing.
I
it was very, very cool.
Remember
and
have time.
Sing.
I'm going to put the video with the girl, and I'm going to put the Ernesto video
sure.
and probably the Madam Mim video. I'll put those online on our YouTube and I'll link them to the episode so you guys can see these things
yes,
happen.
Yes, you can see these events happen.
I am Ernesto de la Cruz, but I'm sure you already knew this. Now, who is my biggest fan? Senorita. Very good catcher. Good for you. Now, who is my second big hand without so fast? Can you catch, senor?
Oh, yeah.
You can. Let's see if you can catch this one.
Let's go.
We'll pretend with the nut. There he is. He got it. Yes. Now, I have four more roses. Here.
who looks confused, yes. No, I am the one asking the question. You do not have to turn around. He's pretending to ignore me now. But he knows. I am in his head now. Ah, he look, yes, you. What are you dressed up as? Are you a shark? Is it a shark? He is a shark. I heard there was a movie about you. You were very famous. You terrorized a small village. I should see this film. It sounds very entertaining. I myself have been in many movies. In fact, I do all of my own stunts. Some more skeletons. Hello, familia.
So after visiting with Ernesto, we then jumped over, went and said hi to Mr. Oogie Boogie himself. And at that moment, the parade was starting. And so the parade hadn't gotten down to where we were yet. So after we exited the Animation Academy, we decided, you know what? This might be a good time to go see if Minnie, Daisy, and Clarabelle are still out dressed as the Sanderson sisters. So we hopped over, got in line with them. We lucked out because I want to say we probably waited in that line 30 to 45 minutes, maybe it was closer, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, which from what I'd seen other places, that line can get like 2.5 hours plus long. What makes this line so long is that the three girls take breaks, I want to say, every 30 minutes.
They're very diva.
If, I don't even know if it's 30 minutes. It might be closer to like 20 minutes that they're taking breaks. So they take like a 5 to 10 minute break every probably about 20 minutes. So it's a lot of kind of stop and go with the line. But again, they were phenomenal. They have this really cool cauldron that was bubbling up with these like fog bubbles. Very, very fun. We were trying to be short and sweet because there was a line of people all waiting to meet the sisters in their lovely attire. So same thing.
And they did the same thing. Groups only.
Groups only. The pictures of Tag and I look like we haven't even blinked. And somehow Mickey, Minnie, no. Daisy, Minnie, and Clarabelle struck three totally different poses.
Mary, Sarah,
and Winifred struck three totally different poses in that time, so that was really cool. After that, of course,
we had to book it.
We booked it.
Because we needed to see, out of time.
Yep, we needed to see Mim. Getting close. We needed to see Mim, and we had to go to Villains Grove. So Madame Mim is actually over by where the
queuing area when the Hyperion actually has a show in it. It's kind of in that back section. Mm-hmm. And it was great because we went over there. Of course, Teresa's bounding as Madame Mim.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. And Teresa feels sort of bad about this.
I feel very bad about this.
Madame Mim was talking to these two ladies.
Since it was the end of the night, there was really nobody back in that treat trail. So mm-hmm. Madame Mim was kind of having this interaction with these two ladies. I want to say they were dressed as Anastasia and Drizella, kind of, you know, like bounding as them.
But Mim looks over and sees Teresa and is like, oh!
Totally. And she had a Teresa moment. She had a squirrel moment.
Totally like, ignored whatever was going on and was like, what did she say to you?
She said,
I enjoy your skirts. You look very puffy. Look at you! Would you want a photo together? Yes, we'll get right to you in just a second. All right.
And then she like looked back because the other two were still kind of patiently waiting, which is when I felt so bad. And she's like, oh, did you two want a picture? So since I felt like I accidentally interrupted their time with Mim, I offered to take the photos for them. So we took some photos. And then I think you did record the first chunk of conversation with Mim. I don't think we got it on video because then the conversation continued after we took photos. I took the photos and then I got my photos with Mim and we were very excited. I did never get to tell her about you being Merlin. Maybe that was for
the
better.
That's because you stayed behind because you were waiting for the ladies to be done and I kind of went up to get food to get the trail stuff. And then I was worried because it was almost the end and we had to get over to the Villains Grove queue because just like all the other queues at Disneyland, if you get in the queue for Villains Grove and you're in there by 11, they will let you go through it.
Mm-hmm. I want to say we got back to the Villains Grove queue. It's probably about 10:45, 10:50. Party end was at 11. So we did get in and through Villains Grove.
We also hit Oogie Boogie. Mm-hmm.
We did that before the Sanderson sisters. So yeah, so by some Disney miracle, we got to check every single box of every single thing that we wanted to do for Oogie Boogie Bash. And we feel like I don't know how that worked out to our favor, because there was a couple little hiccups that should have taken that took longer than they should have. But we still managed to do it all. It was so much fun. So amazing. So if you have not done Oogie Boogie Bash yet and you are going later this season, feel free to use our tips. Basically, start at the back, work your way front. And I will be honest. The only break we took was when we were sitting to watch the parade and then like some bathroom breaks. But other than that, it was just kind of go, go, go. But we were like so amped up on like adrenaline and excitement. Yeah. And we were just so excited and so happy to be there.
The other thing to notice about starting in the back of the park and working your way forward is it is usually light still when the party starts. So the characters and the treat trails that are in the back aren't as cool. It doesn't matter when you see them. Yeah. But when you get towards like Maleficent or Ernesto, I thought was actually even good because he had some kind of lighting for the stage. Madame Mim, I think, was good. Cool. So those
Maleficent's
things,
really, yeah. really cool.
So I feel like during the day, if it was still sunny out, I don't think that would. It just is a better experience
you
if you do
have
it.
The lighting.
And of course, Villains Grove. Like mm-hmm. you want that at night, mm-hmm. totally. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind. But yeah, it was a great party. I think it was worth it. Obviously, you get an entire giant sack of candy, to the fact where Teresa and I did not have room in our bags. We ended up having to carry it on the plane.
I had room in my bag.
Well, I carried my bag on because I had a lot. But I will say, I love Snickers, and they gave out a ton of Snickers this year.
Tons of Snickers.
Who was the guy? Where were we? Was it the Ernesto Treat Trail where you got, like, they put the Craisins in, and the guy's like, here, take extra candy to cover.
That was, I think it was... I don't remember if it was Ernesto or if it was Agatha, but yeah, Craisins were another one of the treats. So
nobody wants Craisins and threw candy on there.
It was so funny because there's each treat trail has some sort of non-candy bin. We got apple slices at one. We got grapes at one. Sun chips at a couple. Carrots was at one. Craisins at a couple.
What's that popcorn stuff that you like?
Oh, yeah. Then there's the popcorn pirate's booty. I don't like that. I love the creepy crawler graham cracker bug things. That's what I really, really loved. But it was so good. So after the party, we did have to go back to the hotel and pack because our flight was leaving the next day. So that was fun, trying to cram all of our goodies into our tiny bags. But we managed, just barely. But then we did have park reservations for Wednesday morning. We wanted a couple more hours in Disneyland before we had to leave. We stopped and had breakfast first we did a Grand Circle tour of the parks because we had not ridden the train yet.
Yep.
So we did a Grand Circle tour. After our Grand Circle tour, we had breakfast at the Jolly Holiday. And I use the term breakfast very loosely because we both had the grilled cheese and tomato soup combos. And we shared a Mickey Mummy macaron.
I do want to say that Teresa judged me all week because whenever there was an option for something, I was like, oh, the soup sounds good. And she's like, you want to eat that in this heat?
It was very hot and very humid for Southern California. So soup just...
But the cookies and cream Mickey macaron was really good. It wasn't too sweet.
It was like perfect. Mm-hmm. The other treat that we had that we forgot to mention earlier was we had it was a churro that was in the town square cart, and it had like a cookie.
It had like crumbled Oreos on the outside.
Oreos on it, and it had like a peanut butter vanilla dipping sauce. That was also very, very good.
It was.
The only fault on that was the dipping sauce we were given was cold, so it was kind of like hard, so it was not very easy to dip, but mm-hmm. we made it work. I do need to also let everyone know we did try the cake that's over at the French Market. It was a vanilla cake with like a raspberry filling.
Yep.
Not our favorite. We have definitely had better cake, and that was not our favorite Disney cake. The cake itself was overly moist, like it was almost like wet. I don't know if it was because we picked it up mobile order and there was just too much condensation in the packaging.
Yeah.
But then the filling itself, the raspberries were very tart. I like raspberry filling on things, but it was a little bit overpoweringly tart. So that was kind of a miss.
It was definitely my least favorite Disney cake that I've had. And I was really disappointed because I really wanted it to be good, and it wasn't that good. So Yeah, but it was just kind of a bummer.
They can all be winners, I suppose. And then after that, we rode Indy. And then, unfortunately, Indy took too long that was the last thing that we were able to do in the parks before then heading off to the airport and heading home. But all in all, we feel so grateful and so fortunate to have been able to go on this trip. It was just filled to the brim with fun. We got to see so many old and new friends, meet so many new friends. Oh, yeah. See so many old and old faces and new faces. Anyways, the people was what made this trip just so incredible. Obviously, Disney is like top notch. But what's so cool is getting to connect with all of the weekly tiers. Like I said, both new and old. We got to meet and see some podcast friends that maybe we've seen in person or have just connected with online before. We were keeping our eye out for Philander, but we never bumped into him. But anyways, just and all of Dylan, these connections the genie is just really, was really in the cool. park
too, and we never ended up being able to connect with him either.
But it was an amazing time. Our hearts are still full. I know I'm still like just feeling so fantastic from that trip, even though it's only been a week. It feels like it was yesterday, well, I also want to go back again.
I want to share, and I want to make another freak out. So we met one of the people that came to our meetup who had a small son, Griffin, which we gave a shout out to on the last episode. And his dad had listened to the episode and before listening to it with him and sent us a video of the podcast playing. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just texting friends. And when Teresa mentioned his name, this kid, I swear it was like some Disney magic that somehow our podcast has created. And he jumped up and down and spun around in circles. Oh, and even the dog was excited. Like
the best happy dance ever.
It was amazing. And I'm so glad that I'm sure that there's plenty of you we've never met that we've made moments like this in your life. It's very awesome that we're able to do that for you guys. So thank you, like Teresa was saying. Yeah. So
very, very cool. So we can't wait until our next trip. We don't have anything set in stone yet. Hopefully, we will soon, though.
Yes.
But we're just very looking forward to getting back out there and getting to spend time and see everyone.
And hopefully
again.
Not be hot and humid like it was earlier this time.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be the case, but I guess you never know.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@dlweekly.net.
All right, welcome back to Trivia Land. Let's wrap this puppy up. How are you two feeling about it?
I feel pretty good.
Pretty all right.
Yeah, apparently we set the bar low.
but you know, as
you
a...
You say that now.
Your overconfidence is your weakness.
Your faith in your friends is yours.
All right. Well, let's see if our overconfidence is our weakness, Teresa.
All right. That first question came
from... Or it might be the faith in our friends could be.
Maybe.
We're doomed either way.
Doomed. All right. That first question this week came from listener Lauren L. In Disneyland Park, there's a place where people used to hide notes for each other. It was even shown on a TikTok. Where can this hidden location be found? You both gave me the correct answer. In the back of the clock that the White Rabbit statue is holding between the King and Queen's bathrooms right before Alice in Wonderland.
Yay! It is sad. It's been blocked out now.
Yep.
And our TikTok source has been pulled down too.
Oh, good.
So, that poor thing. All I was thinking when Lauren submitted this question, I'm like, man, we're just giving up the secret spot to everyone. Now everyone's going to be passing notes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
that's what Teresa's whole thought process of social media is ruining the parks came from.
Get all these little secrets. Anyway, our second question. In the queue for Indy, there's a blue and white sign high in the rafters of the projection room, or at least at some point there was. What's the significance? Another right answer. It's the old Eeyore parking sign paying homage to the parking lot that the attraction replaced. Well done, you two.
Yay!
Boom. Good job, Teresa.
And tag.
There you go.
Our third question from Louise B. In the Haunted Mansion Holiday Overlay, which Nightmare Before Christmas character is holding a list of good boys and girls in the attic scene? I'm giving a half point because you were close. It's technically the sandworm.
Oh.
But you were describing him very well as a snake with orange and black stripes.
I thought he was a snake.
Sandworm.
I totally thought he was a snake.
A generous half point. And a fun fact from Louise. The sandworm was inspired by another Tim Burton character.
From Beetlejuice, right?
That's right. I'm not giving you the other half point for getting that right, but good job. And our final question this week. In your trip around the Small World, put the continents visited in order in the Small World attraction. You two were very close, so I'm going to give you another half point.
Ooh.
I skipped Antarctica because I didn't really think about that that much. So I started in Europe, and then Asia, and then it's Africa, then South America, where I also lumped in Central America. After that, you go to Australia and the Pacific Islands related and Oceania. And then you come back to North America before seeing everyone together as one. So
we did pretty
very
good.
Close.
We did pretty good,
that was
Teresa.
Pretty good. We really only flip-flopped
Africa and South America.
It helped that we went on it recently, and I can still remember like transitioning between rooms. But I'll bet you a week from now, if you ask me this question, I will have no idea.
That made me think it was all the more fair to ask it now.
And you thought we were going to do terrible.
I did. I'm always surprised at what weird things that you two remember, like the note hiding spot. I figured there's no way you two will know something this obscure.
Because we're always trying to figure out where to hide our DL Weekly pins from Weekly Tiers to find.
I was telling people at our meetup last week that, and I want to share this with the audience in general, is when we started doing trivia, I thought it'd be a good way for people listening to the podcast to realize that we knew what we were talking about, that we were subject matter experts on Disneyland.
Oh, tag.
But then we started getting all these trivia questions that we couldn't answer, and I'm like, great. All of our credibility is just flying out the window. But then people tell us they love when we don't know the trivia answers because we all learn, and you too, exactly. We all learn something. So
it's fun and exciting. Is it exciting to like know the answer and like win? Of course it is, but I actually really enjoy really having to dig deep and find the weird obscure fact somewhere, or if I don't know it, I enjoy learning.
Well, the other thing too is for some reason you have this pit of knowledge that like tickles up, and if you just give it a minute, where my brain just seems to go opposite. It's like, huh?
A very specific skill set.
Yeah, apparently.
This and Disney movie lyric, like song lyrics.
Oh my goodness. Maybe we should do some trivia about Disney song lyrics.
There you go. You have to answer the questions first, though.
Oh my goodness.
It's going to go great. So, a great week. I really enjoyed the listener questions. I thought they were good, and TNT knew them, which surprising to me. So let's
Josh
keep...
too.
Let's keep testing their knowledge on who knows what. Send producer Vern and I an email with your great trivia questions. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.